coming up on this week of a time that we celebrate as a nation, what we refer to as 4th of July or Independence Day. A day that we celebrate that we have freedom and the freedom that we gained by becoming a nation. But as you look around, I probably do not have to tell many in this room that the America that was founded is not the America that we have today. I probably do not have to tell any of us in this room that we are in a moral and spiritual disaster in America. We can look around this morning and we can see great wickedness happening everywhere we turn in this nation. We can see the things that were one time banned, not allowed, were looked upon in an ill form, is now being praised and done everywhere you turn. We can look this morning as we look at this, and many individuals in this room would start to shift the blame on different individuals, different places, different people. This morning, I want to look at this thought of how can we have God's blessing upon us as a nation, and how can we have God's blessing upon us as individuals, as believers. Our main text is going to be one that's very familiar in 2 Chronicles, but before we turn there, ask you to turn to me to Psalms chapter 33. And look at verse number 12 with me. Psalms 33 and verse number 12 this morning. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. How do you have God's blessing? How is a nation blessed? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. The reason our nation is not blessed this morning, because God is not our Lord. The reason your home is not blessed this morning is because God is not your Lord. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. We understand this was written and given to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And God had warned the people that their disobedience to his word and his commands were bringing consequences. Verse 13 of that text tells us to bring consequences of drought to that nation. And drought was happening. A spiritual and physical drought was happening with the nation of Israel. This morning, we as Americans are going through a spiritual drought. We as a nation, as a country, we are even going through a physical drought. Some of the things happening with the recessions and the different things, we're going through some droughts in our lives. As believers, we're going through some spiritual droughts. We're going through some physical droughts that are happening. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. How do we have God's blessing? We have to make God our Lord once again. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We're going to see some thoughts here. We're going to look at this first thought, though, and this is going to get some people a little upset this morning. And that's okay, because we need to be upset this morning. We need to get our feathers ruffled a little bit. Because the reason we're in the state we're in, get this, I want you to hear this morning. The reason we are in the state we're in as a nation, the reason we're in the places we are in our homes today, is not because of the President of the United States of America. The reason we're in the state we're in is not because of Hollywood. It's not because of wicked people in high places. The reason we're in the state we're in as a nation in America, the reason that we're in the state we're in our homes today, is because God's people are not what they ought to be. I want us to understand this morning, the reason we're in the place we're in, the blame comes to us. Second Chronicles, look at verse 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, if my people, he's saying God's people, he's saying people that have been redeemed, people that have been saved, people that have been called by God, those who God has called and the name of God has been stamped upon them. This is the name that's been given them. It says, if my people, we're talking about the Jews, we understand this, if my people, then he says, which are called by my name, it means the name of God was applied to them. This is talking about God's very people that he loved. The application is applied to us this morning. If those who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, if the people that call themselves Christians, the people that have given the stamp and the name of a Christian stamped upon them, if those who call themselves believers, those who refer to you as a believer, if my people, which are called by my name, they see the responsibility for the reason the nation of Israel is where they're at and going through the spiritual drought was because of God's people. The reason our churches are struggling this morning, the reason we don't see revival this morning, the reason we don't see a nation revived this morning, the reason we see all that's happening this morning, it's God's people that are responsible. You say, well, how is God's people responsible? Because we fail to live godly lives. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Look at verses 15 through verse 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, the reason we're in the state we're in, and the reason it's the Christian's responsibility, it's our fault, if you will, that the nation is where it's at. It's our fault our homes are the way they are. It's our fault because of where we're headed and what's going on. It's because we aren't living godly lives this morning. We are living one step in the world and one step supposedly going towards the things of God. We're trying to ride that middle fence in our Christianity. We're trying to do what we can to please ourselves and make ourselves happy. We want a little bit of the world, a little bit of this. Oh, McDonald had a farm type of philosophy of our Christian life. And what is happening, what is going on, is we are in the state we're in. And it's our responsibility because there used to be a time that God's children were called sin, sin. It used to be a time when we would say we want to be holy and set apart and distinguished and different. There's a time that we quoted Romans chapter 12 and realized we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's a time that we understand that we're to be separate, we're to be peculiar people, we're to be set apart different than this world. But let's understand this morning. We're responsible this morning for where the nation is because we don't have godly influences and godly living among those who claimed to be God's children. There was a time when you would walk around and guess what? You could tell who was a believer and who wasn't a believer. Do you know there was a time when people in this world would look around and they could say who was a Christian and who wasn't a Christian? Because they could tell by the way they walked, they could tell by the way they talked, they could tell by everything they did. And it was demonstrated. They didn't have to go around and tell everyone. They saw it. They saw that they didn't participate in those type of jokes. They saw they didn't talk the same way that they talked. They saw that they went to church. They saw that they leave as a family and they would have their Bibles and get in the car and go to church every Sunday morning. They would see that they lived a godly life. They would see that they weren't perfect, but they had a desire to please God in their lives. The reason our nation is in the way it's in this morning It's because God's people are not living godly. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So you see, if my people, reason it's on us is we're not living godly, but also I want you to see Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Whether the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodders under the foot of men? Look at verse 14 and verse 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The reason we're in the state we're in, because we're not the salt of the earth. We're not the light of the world as we should be. We're hiding our light. We allow sin and other things to darken the light. We lost the flavor. We lost the savor. We are salt that's good for nothing. We're not making an impact on this world. We're not standing bright in this world. We're mixing in with this world. We're looking at this world. The reason the nation is in where it's at is because you can't tell the difference between those who claim to be a believer and those that claim not to be a believer. It is a place where we are mixing and we can hook arms with all those that's in this world, and just you can tell no difference between us. Not only that, the reason we're in the place we're in is because we failed to witness to this world as we should. Now, why don't you get this? This is part of being the light of the world. This is part of being the salt of the world. You say, well, preacher, we're not witnessing. Now, get this. I want you to hear this morning. We're not witnessing because we don't have all these set days to go out and witness. You know what the problem is? You can have set days, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we used to on a regular basis. You know how many people showed up? And you're not more spiritual because you showed up for it. You're not less spiritual because you didn't show up for it. It's not the wrong reason you don't have those. But you know what it is? We are to be witnesses every day. Do you understand? You don't have to have a set day to witness. And I'm going to say something, not to brag on myself or anything. But you know what I do? As I have a stack of these in my car, and when I'm out and about and I have some time, I go and I pass these out. And again, I'm not bragging on myself. Please don't take this the wrong way. But honestly, I go through hundreds of these in a short amount of time. And it doesn't take that much time. But we don't go out and we don't do it. You see, the reason our nation is in the state it's in, the reason we're in the place we're in, because we're not going and taking the opportunities that God has given us and the relationships God's given us and the places God's given us to share His Word. We're quiet mouth about it. Well, we don't have a set time of church anymore, so I don't have to witness. That's a bunch of hoopa goopa. We need to rise up, and we need to go out, and we need to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. We need to realize that God has given you several opportunities every day of your life to share the gospel with someone. Unless you sit in your house and you never talk on the phone, you never text, you never do anything, you never get on social media, you never even talk to another individual, you never do anything, you don't have a reason not to share the gospel at least once in a day. Every one of us have that responsibility. And this whole idea of witnessing is building a rapport with someone so you can take the gospel and share the gospel. What do you mean? The reason we're staying in, because we're too busy to be concerned about anybody else. and I have all my problems. At least my problems are not as much as Brother Rich's. But I have all my problems. I have all my problems. I have all these. So I can't be concerned about your problem. I can't be concerned about you needing to hear about the Lord. I got my own issues. I got my own busyness of life. I got my own things going through. That's the reason we're in the state we're in, because God's children don't have time for anybody. They don't even have time for God. Long enough for someone else. We've really failed to care about other people and where they're at in their state. You know another reason we're in the state we're in? Get this, please. Get this morning. We failed to pray. Now, we're going to hit this as we get in this message this morning, the secret. But we have failed to pray because we fail to care. If my people, the responsibility falls on you, the responsibility falls on me. If my people, which are called by my name, if God's people will arise and wake up and see, the famine has come because of God's people. We're in the place we're in as a nation because of God's people. But there's hope. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You want a blessed nation. You want a blessed home. Yes, it's our responsibility. Yes, it's our fault. Yes, we're to blame. But we can be part of the solution this morning. You can be part of the solution this morning. You don't have to continue to be part of the problem. You can be part of the solution. Do you know either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution? It's your choice. Oh, we can sit back and say, I can't believe that this nation is still the way it is. I can't believe all the wickedness that is happening. I can't believe what is loud in politics today. I can't believe what all this is. But the problem is, we aren't part of the solution. We sit back and we complain about it. We sit back and we don't like it. We sit back and we put someone else down because of it. But there's a call. You see, the responsibility is on us, but I want you to look at the call that's given. It's a call to preparation, number one. Look at this. If my people, which are called by my name, so the responsibility is on us, but the call is given to us. And the call is this, a call to preparation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. That idea of being under another. The idea of humbling ourselves and putting ourselves under the control of someone else. Turn with me, Joshua chapter 5. I want you to see this thought. Joshua chapter 5. So we look at this idea of humbling ourselves. Joshua chapter 5, and look at verse 13 through verse 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for an adversary? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This idea of taking off your shoes. Look this way for a minute. This idea of taking off your shoes and giving your shoes to someone else was a sign of releasing authority from yourself and giving that authority to someone else, putting yourself under control of someone else. And this idea is this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, we are to be humble. Now, I want to hit something this morning that I think needs to be hit on. We just got off a so-called month called Pride Month. Can I tell you something this morning? Nowhere in Scripture does it ever tell us to be proud and be prideful people. And especially be proud about sin. I tell you, I'm not trying to be unkind this morning. I'm not trying to be unloving this morning. But I'm telling you, we're living in a nation. nation where people are lifting up sin. We're not to lift up sin. We're not to sugarcoat sin. We're not to make sin look good. I don't care what sin it is, any sin. We can name all the sins we want. We can talk about every sin. We're not to lift up any sin and be proud about that sin. My people need to be humble. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, go ahead and put yourself under authority of the Lord. Stop trying to puff yourself up. Stop trying to make yourself look good. Stop trying to go through and do these certain things. Humble yourself. And it's a call to God's people, but it's called to us individually. If my people which are called by my name, if you and I would just humble ourselves. You know what? We think too highly of ourselves as believers today. We think we're great. You ever met someone that you just said, man, they think they're a bag of chips and all that? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you kids go, what is that? That's back when Miss Fail was a kid. That's the saying they used to say. And you know, this is the whole idea. As we get this, wait a second. You and I are nothing. Without God, we're nothing. The only reason you have any ability is because of God. The only reason you're able to do what you can do is because of God. You and yourself is nothing. Some of you can sing and praise God for the group we had and their voices. But let me tell you, as much as I like some of their voices, without God, you're nothing. You're no different than me in singing, all right? If you didn't have God, you'd squawk like me, all right? But with God, we have something, but we are still nothing because it's not our power, it's not our strength, it's not our ability, it's not our might, it's what God has given us. We need to humble ourselves. One of the reasons I believe America has crumbled and is full is because God's people have not humbled themselves, and we have thought we are to be better than those in this world. And we have gone around, and instead of being salt and light in the world, we go around and we condemn individuals. We go around and tell people how wicked and vile they are. And we go around and we're harsh and not truth and love. See, if I'm humble, I'm going to speak truth, but I'm going to speak it in love as a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to be brokenhearted. I'm going to mourn over sin, and I'm going to try to point people to the Savior. If my people, which are called by my name, a call to humility. We got to humble, but I want you to see this. If my people, which are called by my name, the call to preparation, but there's the call to prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Well, preacher, we know we're supposed to pray. Yeah, we know it. But how many times do we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it? If my people, which are called by my name, start going working the field a little harder, maybe it might rain. If my people, which are called by my name, would start doing this a little more and doing that a little more, maybe there's some sprinkles from heaven will come down. No, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. See, you got to humble yourself to get to a place that you can pray. You got to humble yourself to a place that you realize you need God. You see, this whole thought is this. He says, the nation of Israel, you don't think you need God. You're proud of yourselves. You're proud of your accomplishments. And the reason you're in the state you're in is because of your sin and because of where you're at. Stop being prideful about yourself. Stop having pride and understand this. You need to humble yourself and humble yourself to a place where you realize you need God and find yourself on your knees crying before God, begging God, asking God to do a work. Well, preacher, I understand we need to pray. Then why aren't you doing it? You know why? Because you're prideful. You have pride in your life. You're very proudful of yourselves. That's why all of us, not just you, me, the reason we don't pray is I don't need God. Oh, preacher, I would never say I don't need God. Well, we say that by the way we're living our lives. Because The first thing we ought to do, and we know this, this is as easy as ABCs. We understand this. This is what you've been taught since you're a little kid. The first thing that you ought to do is what? Is to pray. We're told the basics. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. We've been told this. We've been taught this, that we need to pray. We talked about pray without ceasing. We need to have an attitude of prayer every day of our lives. We need to be praying. We need to have supplications and prayers and intercessions. We know the Bible talks about prayer over and over again. The Lord even taught his disciples, and we have the disciples' prayer, and he gives them an idea of how you ought to pray. Not that you have to chant that prayer, but it gives you the idea of praying, what you ought to be praying for, how you ought to be thankful in your prayer, what you ought to be seeking in the prayer. Because prayer is important. We used to have bumper stickers that said prayer is power. Well, I'm glad we understand that, but we never tap into that power. Some of you go, what's a bumper sticker? I'll teach you later. But prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The responsibility is on us. We're to humble to a place that brings ourselves to our knees, going before God. As we humble ourselves, bring ourselves upon our knees, going before God, it leads us to the next phrase. If my people, which I'll call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face. See, the idea is this. I humble myself. I bring myself to my knees before God in a humble way of showing authority, submitting myself to God, realizing I need God. I'm putting myself, the whole idea of the bowing in the Bible was that of respect and reverence and realizing putting yourself under the authority, the same as the shoes, giving the shoe. And I'm putting myself in a place that I want God to know. I'm turning to him. And as I turn to him in prayer, I'm also seeking his face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face. That idea of seek my face is desiring something. Desiring something. And that which has your attention. We humble, we pray, we seek. That means my desire is God and God alone. I want God to have the proper priority in my life. This idea of seeking, I'm seeking God because I've humbled myself. I'm seeking God because I'm in an attitude of prayer, going before God. And I need God. I'm realizing I need God. But I'm seeking God. That means I want to get as close to God as I possibly can. And my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek his face. What are we seeking this morning? You see, the reason the nations and the state it's in is because of us as believers. Because we're not seeking God. God's children are seeking other things this morning. We're not seeking his face. We're seeking other things and other voices we're listening to this morning. We're hearing other voices. We're hearing other things. And we're seeking that. That's what has our attention. That which has our priority. I understand Hollywood's wicked. I understand politics is a mess. But I want you to understand this morning, you can protest all you want to protest. You can do all you want to do. And you can get mad, you can get angry, you can do hateful things, you can do all the things you want to do. But you know what's going to change this nation? It's God's people humbling themselves, finding themselves on their knees, and putting God where ought to be in their lives. Because if I'm seeking his face, if I'm seeking God with my life, if I'm seeking him, he's what matters, and that's going to dictate everything I do. They were seeking other things to fix their drought. They were trying to find other avenues to get water to their fields. They try to find different things and try to get it taken and put in and get the water they need and all that that's then. And they came up with systems. You go to Israel, they have some of those systems in place. But there was a city called Masada. And what happened is Masada was set on a hill and it was a fortress and they were supposed to be able to be taken care of and no one's going to be able to go against them and everything else. And they were able to pipe some water in and some of that in, but they were running out of water. They were running out of that. It wasn't able to. And then they trapped themselves in that area and they couldn't go out and get what they needed. And the problem is this, we seek our own ways of doing things instead of seeking the Lord, trying to fix the drought in our lives. Oh, I'm going to fix that spiritual drought in my life. I'm going to go be a part of this program and that program. I'm going to go get this and I'm going to go do that. I'm going to get this spiritual help book over here and I'm going to get that spiritual help. I'm going to go listen to this guru over here and I'm going to go listen to that person. He's going to give me all the answers. Oh, that guy of that church, he's pastor of a big church. He probably has better answers than someone else. And I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go everywhere around. No, seek the Lord. We got to get back to the place where we stop turning to all these other voices, all these other areas, and we seek back of seeking His face. Well, I read this book, and this book told me it's okay to do what I want to do. Do you know what? You can find anyone that agree with you. Doesn't mean it's right. You can find anyone that agree with you. I remember when I was losing weight and looking at different things and going through things, I found a book that said that you could actually lose weight by eating candy bars every day. It's out there. Google it. You can eat candy bars and sweets every day and lose weight, supposedly. I don't know about you, but I don't see how that would work. But someone agreed. Do you know that book sold over 1 million copies? And then they did statistics on it. Not one person lost weight that followed that diet. But people agreed with it. You can find anything you want to agree with. You got to seek the Lord. Seek His face. I tell you, I understand there's times that we need to stand up. I'm not saying we don't need to stand up. I'm not saying there's not times we need to say, hey, this is wrong. We need to stand up and say this is wrong. But I'm telling you, we get so involved in this and so involved in that, we neglect church. We neglect God's house. We neglect the time in the scriptures. We neglect the time in reading His word and praying and doing those things. Oh, I'm at this Capitol meeting and I'm at this place, but oh, I can't make it to church. Oh, I'm at this boycott. I'm at this over here and I'm doing this and I'm flying my flag high and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But oh, I haven't spent the time in prayer. I haven't done those things. The problem is this, we're not seeking His face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. We have a call to preparation. We have a call to prayer. We have a call to passion. But we have a call to purity. If my people, which are called by my name, then it says this, you, God's people, you need to do this. You need to turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We need to turn from our wicked ways. The Bible says, verse chapter 53, I want you to look at verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth God. Good. We need to turn from our wicked ways. What do we mean we need to turn from our wicked ways? Here's where the thought is, and I want us to think about this. What is the wicked way? The wicked way is saying there is no God. Wait, this is God's people. Do you know we as God's people have gotten to a place that we believe there's no God? We have gotten to the place that we need to turn from our wicked ways because we have to realize there is a God. Oh, I'm trusting God for salvation, preacher. What are you talking about? The problem is this. We have gotten to a place that we are not relying upon, dependent upon God. And in a sense, we're saying there is no God. That's a fool. The fool says, yes, I know there's a God, but I'm not going to trust that God. And that's where we've gotten as believers today. The other area we've gotten as believers that we need to turn from our ways is we have many gods in our lives. We have made many gods in our lives. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Oh, preacher, that's just talking about idols that they worship in that day, and the false gods and the pagan gods and the temples that they went and worship in, and the prostitution and all that was happening in that. That's what it's talking about, preacher. No, it's talking about when you put anything before God. Don't put anything before him. We need to turn from our wicked ways this morning, church, because we need to turn back to God, repent, and turn back to him, and turn from the ways that lead us away from God, and turn back to the ways that lead us to God. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to say what David said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, show me my sin. Show me where I've fallen. And guess what? Every one of us fall every day of our lives. And yes, none of us are going to be perfect. But it's this idea. I sin. I seek God. God forgives me. God gives me strength to keep going forward. That's what the Christian life ought to look like. Turning from our wicked ways. We need to call sin what sin is this morning. We need to stop trying to dance around the sin and be a part of sin. And we need to turn from those ways. Look at believers today. Many believers get close to the fire as they possibly can. How many have ever done a bonfire before? And how many are kind of insane when you do a bonfire? I know Brother Wade is. And when you do it, and Brother Rich, I've heard about the one that almost burned your house down before. Ask Lori about that one, folks. I think she put a band of no bonfires in the backyard. Just when she's gone, you do it, right? And how many get it really warm-ish, or extreme warm, right? But how many of you are kind of not intelligent, and you think you can get close to it and it won't burn you? And you get that thing raging, hot as hot can be, and you get close to it. There was a time that we did one, and Sarah, I don't know if you remember this, it was at your house, and it was going very much, and one of the teens got really close and actually burned their eyebrows, and they didn't get into the fire. They never got in the fire, but they got seared here. I mean, kind of crispy critters, all right? And then you could flake them off and flick them off. And I think a lot of times we as believers need to turn from our wicked ways, but we get as close to the wicked ways as we possibly can, and it still burns us. It still affects us. The reason the nation's in an end is because God's people are not separating themselves and being different from this world. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Well, preacher, I'm pretty good. I've done most of the things I'm supposed to do. I've gotten rid of bad music, and I've gotten rid of this, and I got rid of that. Do you know, it's not the idea of getting rid of things. You know what it is? Surrendering your heart to God and turning from the wicked ways, and then you live right. You see, we're in the wrong mindset sometimes. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop smoking. I got to stop chewing. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. I got to stop doing this. No, give your heart to God. Turn from your wicked ways and let God do a work in your life, and you won't be involved in those activities. This turning to wicked ways is not trying to give up this and trying to give up that. It's giving your heart to God, surrendering to God, and God will give you the victory in your life. Turn from that way. Turn from the impure thoughts. You know how you get victory over impure thoughts? Get in God's word. Let God work in your heart. Let God work in your life. Surrender to him, and he'll give you victory over those impure thoughts. You want victory in your lives over certain things, that's what you got to do. Well, I keep trying to get over this. I keep trying to stop lying. I'm trying to get over this disobedience attitude. I'm trying to get over this. I'm trying to get over that. Surrender yourself to God, and God will give you the strength to have the victory over those areas. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop making excuses for what you're doing. You know how we turn from wicked ways? Call sin what God calls sin. And stop making excuses. Oh, preacher, I'm doing what I'm doing because of this person. You know what? I didn't have a chance as a child because how wicked and terrible my parents were. It's all their fault I had this rotten attitude. Stop making excuses. You chose to have the rotten attitude. Yeah, your parents might not be perfect, because you can't all have me. But we need to turn. Some of you got that. You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to turn from that. Stop making excuses. Stop excusing for what you've done. Stop blaming other people. Stop trying to find a way out and rationalize what you're doing. Stop trying to say, well, there's a loophole. How many know loophole Christians, all right? We see loophole people. They always try to find a loophole in something. Let me tell you, do you know one of the jobs that most lawyers like? You talk to a lawyer that really likes what he does? They like to look at something for hours and hours and hours and hours and try to find some minor, minute little thing that wasn't signed right or dotted right or wasn't this, to find a loophole out of something. You know what Christians do today? This is how we do it. We read our Bibles, and we read a portion of Scripture that tells us what we should be doing and what we should not be doing, how we ought to be living, and we read it 20 times, not because we want to get more out of it. We read it 20 times to find, there's a little clause there. Oh, that little clause gives me an excuse and a reason to go ahead and do what I want to do. And we're trying to find the loophole. Oh, it says any man, and since I'm a woman, that doesn't apply to me. It only applies to the men. Men get right with God. Some of you say yes, and they just nudge a husband. All right. But we try to find this, and we try to find, stop trying to find loopholes and turn from your wicked ways. Stop trying to shift the blame. Stop trying to find excuses. Stop trying to rationalize it and deal with it in your lives. We need to each deal with it daily on a regular basis in our lives. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. There's the call given. All right? The responsibility is us. The call is given to what we're supposed to be doing. But real quickly, let's look at how we should respond and what the response will be. We're to do this. We're to seek his face. But what will the response be? Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. God will hear us, God will help us, and God will heal us. He will hear, help, and heal us. Do you know what hinders our communication with God is sin? But when we confess that sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you have sin in your life and it's not a prayer of repentance, if you will, it's a prayer about this and that, what happens to your prayer? It bounces off the ceilings, according to the book of Psalms. But when you come to a place and you realize and you humble yourselves and you pray and you seek your face and you do this, God's going to hear you. When you come to a place of repentance and saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. God, I'm sorry for the responsibility that I have, that the nation's where it's ought to be. God, I'm sorry that my home's the way it is. It's my fault, God, and I'm seeking you now. God, I'm turning back to you. God, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. When we get to that place, God will hear us. Do you know what needs to happen? God's people need to do do the things that we just looked at and get to the place and say, God, I'm sorry that I've not been humbled, that I've not been praying, that I haven't been seeking, that I haven't been turning. Lord, forgive me. Do you know daily on a regular basis? I understand salvation is once and for all. I understand that you need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I understand that you cannot lose your salvation. I understand your salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I understand that you can't work your way to heaven. I understand all those things. I understand we're not keep our salvation by our works. I understand all that. But I do understand this. As a believer, I need to keep that short account with God. Because if I have unconfessed sins in my life, it's not that I lose my salvation, but it mars my fellowship with God. It doesn't change my status. I'm still saved, but it changes my walk and my talk with God. Let me give this illustration. If you have a relationship with somebody and you're with that person, and say that person's your mother or your father or your husband or your wife, whatever you want to use for you. And you have done wrong to that person. It does not change your relationship. You're still a son. You're still a daughter. You're still a mother. You're still a father. But what does that do to the fellowship you have? You're not as close to him as you were because you haven't dealt with that sin. You haven't dealt with that issue. What happens is that communication is broken in that, and you're not able to communicate. You're not able to talk through, not able to deal with the things. And yeah, you're still married. You're still the father. You're still the mother. You're still the child. You're still those individuals. But that fellowship is not what it ought to be. And so this idea is this, that we need to make sure that we keep that short account, not because we're getting re-saved, because I want my fellowship to be sweet with my God. And I want that close, intimate relationship with Him. God will hear you. You know what we need? There's been a long time that I believe many people that call themselves believers or call themselves Christians have not sought God and asked God to forgive them of their sin, and they don't have the blessing of God upon their lives. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is not your Lord because he saved you, but he's not ruling and reigning your life as he should because you're not surrendered to him and you don't have the blessing of God upon your life because you have unconfessed sin in your life. I believe many people in our world today that are believers have not gotten things right with God in a long time. And we can sit back and we can blame Hollywood, we can blame this, we can blame that, but the problem is us. We haven't gotten right. Well, preacher, you don't know what decisions I make. I don't. But I can tell by how many people live their lives today that we aren't. Well, just because I didn't go forward has nothing to do with that. Why do we have an altar? It's to give you an opportunity, but there's nothing magical about it. It's a form of accountability, but there's nothing magical about it. It's that. I know some people don't like it because they think it's showy. That's fine. Whatever. Because here's the truth of the matter is, you can make the same decision in your seat than you can up here. The problem is we're not making any decisions. The problem is we're not dealing with sin in our lives. We're not getting it right. The problem is we go weeks and months and years and never confess it before God. And we wonder why we don't have God's blessing. Why we don't see God healing. Why don't we see things taking place? It's because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You see, God will hear us. But God will help us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. Look at this next phrase. I want you to see this. Look there in verse 14. I want you to get this. I want you to see this here. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. He will help them. Do you know what God's going to do? God's going to hear you, but God's going to forgive you. God's going to help you. The only help this nation could have is God. You know who's going to send showers down upon them? Was God. You see, God's going to help them. God's going to heal them, their land. God's going to give them showers. Showers of blessing. The showers of blessing come pouring down. You know what needs to happen? We need to seek God. We need to realize that God's going to help us. And then we can sit back and see how God's going to heal. Do you know what brings about a change in a nation and a change in our homes today, in our world today? It starts with you, it starts with me. You know what's going to heal this nation? Is when God's people just start doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because who does the healing? God does. God does the healing. You see, I think many times we think we do the healing. No, we're supposed to live right, confess it, do the things God has called us to do. But God brings the blessing. God brings the healing. God adds as he sees fit. God does the work. I don't do the work. You don't do the work. God does it. You want your home fixed? You don't fix your home. God fixes your home as you surrender to him and you seek him and you confess your sins and you deal with it and you humbly do all the things we talked about. Then that's when God's going to heal. God does the fixing. Not us. You want to see this nation turn around? Start living right. Start dealing with your own life and your own sin. And that's when you're going to see a revival break out. You want to see God's blessing upon this church? You know what you need to do and I need to do? More than we ever have? Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, start doing what we're supposed to be doing, and you'll see revival take place in this church. You want to see people get out of their comfort zones and get out of being apathetic? You want to see things happen? You want to see people get a fire once again in their life and get a passion for God again? You want to see things happen? You want to start seeing souls saved and lives change again? You want to start seeing some things happen in this world, in this community, in this church? Then we need to get right with God. And when we get right with God, that's when we're going to see a change. That's when the blessing is going to come back and God's going to bless. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we looked at. We know we needed this morning. Well, you went and laid it on my heart. Lord, I pray that you help each of us to just look at our lives and examine ourselves.